Hello, everyone, and welcome to this new episode of the Smart and Sustainable City podcast. And we have a very special guest today, Thomas. Welcome. Welcome to the program.
Thank you.
Could you introduce yourself?
My name is Tom Dodd. I'm British, but also now Belgian. I work in the European Commission. Specifically, I work in the part of the European Commission that actually mainly regulates the financial sector. But within that department, I coordinate a small team of four or five people who work on rules for corporate sustainability reporting. So European rules about the social and environmental information that, that companies have to report.
So with a focus on the financial system, but also resonating with the European Green Deal, your Directorate General has recently been involved in writing up and moving forward with some new EU policies linked to sustainability, right?
That's right. Now, the part that I and colleagues deal with specifically are the new rules on what we call corporate sustainability reporting. So this is the Corporate Sustainability Reporting Directive, which the European Parliament and the member states in the Council agreed in the middle of last year, agreed in the middle of 2023. It essentially revises and strengthens some existing corporate sustainability reporting requirements in EU law. So we were not starting from zero. Some large companies have to some extent been subject to certain EU requirements to include sustainability information in their annual reports already. But this new directive goes quite a long way in terms of specifying in more detail the requirements that are on those companies and introduces a number of other quite important modifications. As I said, that legislation was agreed in the middle of last year, and we're now just in the middle of bringing it on stream in terms of practical implementation.
So it was issued at a European level, and it is now in the phase where it's being rolled out in all of the European countries. Is this where we're at?
Yes. As always, it's a little bit more complex than that. But that is true. So it is in what we, in our EU jargon, we call a directive. That means that it does have to be transposed into national law. So that means each member state has to pass its own national laws that implement the requirements of that directive. That process is ongoing, and we have periodic discussions with representatives from national administrations to check that their understanding and our understanding of what the directive requires is more or less the same. So that process goes on. The other important part of implementation really relates to the single most important part of this directive, which is to say that European companies caught by this law will have to report according to mandatory common European reporting standards. So these are what we call ESRS, European Sustainability Reporting Standards. And this summer, so at the end of July, the European Commission approved the first set of ESRS, so the first set of European Sustainability Reporting Standards. And this is the detail. So the directive sets the principles, but a company can't really pick up the directive and know what to report. The company picks up the standards, the company picks up the ESRS, and there is the detail of what an individual company has to report about what issues. We adopted a first set of standards at the end of July. We now have to wait until later this month to receive the hopefully the no objection of both the Council, that's the Member States, and the European Parliament. They can't actually change the terms of the standards, but they could object to it if they fundamentally disapprove of what we have proposed. So that is the key aspect of implementation that we are in the middle of at the moment.
All right, Tom. So there was the European Green Deal kind of sets the scene. Your group, your directorate has been putting forward this CSRD, this directive, which has been voted by the European Parliament and which is being passed on now to each of the European countries so that it can be put into local law. And applied to this directive are measurement metrics, right? Called ESRS, KPIs, yeah. How would you call them?
Yeah, they're KPIs and more. Okay. I mean, KPIs implies, doesn't it, a numerical metric. Now, within these standards, there are, of course, numerical metrics, but there is considerably more than that. So not only, if we translate it into sort of reality, not only would a company need to disclose metrics on its greenhouse gas emissions, it would also need to provide a narrative account of the climate-related risks to which it might be exposed, and various other elements. So it's not just numbers.
Okay. And does this apply to, we're going to discuss who does this apply to, but is it in general terms applicable only to private companies, or do you foresee that the public sector or public-owned companies will have to comply with this directive as well over time?
So it's limited liability companies. That's in essence. But perhaps I should dig into this a bit more. So the shorthand that we use is all large companies and all listed companies. So the large companies are actually defined as companies that exceed 2 out of 3 criteria. And those criteria are 250 employees, 40 million euro turnover, 20 million euro balance sheet. Now, if you exceed 2 out of those 3, you are, in our interpretation, a large company. So all large companies established within the EU would need to meet these reporting requirements. Then we have all listed companies. And why we make that a slightly separate category is because listed companies would have to meet these reporting requirements even if they're small. Unless they're very, very small micro companies, but okay, that's a detail we probably don't need to dwell on. So listed SMEs, listed small and medium-sized enterprises, would also have to report.
And there are companies which are headquartered outside of the European Union. What do those companies have to report then under CSRD?
Okay, now you're going to have to forgive me here because this is important, but not always simple to explain. So I'll do my best. I think there's probably 3 scenarios we need to think about. Okay, first, you might have a non-EU company, not established in the EU, but nevertheless has shares or other securities listed on EU markets. If that's the case, they need to report according to European sustainability reporting standards, like all other companies with shares or other securities listed in the EU. So that's the first case. We then have a second case, which may be a company not established in the EU, but that generates above 150 million euros in revenue on the EU market through goods and services it sells, and has either a large branch or a large subsidiary located in the EU. And in that case, the branch or subsidiary of that non-EU company would indeed need to publish a report on behalf of the parent company. That requirement actually doesn't kick in until 2028, 2029. And there would be separate standards covering those non-EU companies. But the reason why the Council and the Parliament wanted to have this provision was to ensure a certain degree of level playing field for companies that make profit on the EU market, and also for questions of accountability, that along the system, it's important that EU citizens can ultimately have access to the sustainability impacts of the different goods and services that they purchase. And that should apply irrespective of whether the good or service is provided or made by a European or non-European company. Now, there is a third case, which is simply the EU subsidiary of a non-EU company. What happens there? Now, the default is that the EU subsidiary of a non-EU company is a legally established EU company. So the default is it's treated like any other EU company. And if it's large, it will have to report. The situation is slightly more subtle, however, because we have a provision that says if the parent company of a subsidiary decides to report on a consolidated basis for the group of companies as a whole, then the individual subsidiary doesn't have to report. There's no obligation, but they can use this option. Now, you follow the logic. If the parent and the subsidiary collectively decide to use that option, then the non-EU parent would have to report according to European sustainability reporting standards. So, I hope, Tom, that's not too confusing an answer to your question.
No, it's very, it's great to get that level of detail. I think it is well documented on your website, but you know, for you to clarify, to crystallize it, is really important. Just to for our auditors' understanding, let's pick a company let's take an example that is headquartered in the U.S. and that has a business that is significant worldwide, but it has a small subsidiary in Europe. As of what type of business level would that company need to report under the CSRD or under this directive?
So it would all depend on the size of the subsidiary.
Okay.
So if the subsidiary is not a large European company, then there are no reporting obligations that would apply. If the subsidiary is a large European company, then that subsidiary, and I suppose the US parent, would need to make a decision. And the decision is, do you leave the EU subsidiary to report on its own for its own operations, which would be compliant with EU law? Or does the parent say, no, actually, we as the parent company prefer to provide a consolidated report covering this subsidiary and others that we may have around the world, and in which case they would need to apply European sustainability reporting standards to do that.
Okay, thank you. That's extremely clear, and thank you for explaining it so well. In terms of reporting obligations, so companies that fall under this directive will have to report. So to whom do they need to report? By when do they need to report? And what are the consequences if they don't report? Is this a bit, can you envisage some penalty, a bit like GDPR? If they don't report, well, they're breaking the law, so there will be penalties involved?
Okay. Not? Yeah, no, I'm just noting that because there's quite a lot of questions there. We should do them one by one, otherwise I'll get lost. Never mind your listeners. So firstly, for whom I think it's a very, very important question. And the Corporate Sustainability Reporting Directive explains this in reasonable detail. The first target audience of the reported information is essentially investors, the financial markets. Now, they need this information partly to understand the risks to which they might be exposed. Okay, again, climate's always the easy example. The standards cover much more than climate, but if a let's make it really simple. Company has built a fantastic new production facility, but it happens to be on a beach at sea level somewhere. It may be exposed to rising sea levels in the future. So that's the kind of information that an investor needs to know about. Investors also need to know actually about the sustainability impacts of the company, because many investors are selling financial products on the basis of the fact that they're sustainable. Now, you can't do that unless you know something about the impacts of your investment portfolio. So the first target audience, as I said, is the financial market investors. But the EU law is quite explicit that the target audience goes beyond that. The target audience is also other stakeholders, such as workers' representatives and trade unions, who are very interested in having greater transparency about whether and how companies ensure respect for labor standards and so on and so forth. Target audience also includes civil society organizations, who are, or some of whom are in one way or another, keen to hold companies to account for their impacts on people. And perhaps more indirectly, target audience includes individual citizens. Now, that probably doesn't mean that there are many EU citizens who will pick up and read company sustainability reports, although some will.
Increasingly, people are interested in.
But they may also get this the information filtered through other sources, including media, of course. So that's the for whom is the information intended. Note that the information in this case is not it's not for people like me, or it's not for organizations like the European Commission itself. This is information that is designed to be put out for the markets in the public sphere. It's not being information being produced for public authorities and for the good of the public authorities. That's not the intention here. By when? Now the by when depends ultimately on the size of the company. So the requirements are phased in according to the size of company. So we start with those companies that are or were already subject to those European sustainability reporting requirements that I talked about at the beginning, the requirements that not very precise, but were already in EU law. And that basically means large listed companies, large banks, large insurance companies, all of them, if they have more than 500 employees. So that's more or less the first group of companies.
That's about 11,500 companies.
Something like that.
In Europe.
You've got it. Yeah. They need to report for financial year 2024, meaning reports actually published 2025. So they are the first ones to go. In the following year, so that's financial year 2025 and reports published 2026, you have all other large European companies, which is mainly, and I'm simplifying here, that's mainly the large non-listed companies. A year after that, so now we're getting to financial year 2026 and reports published 2027, you have the listed SMEs. And in fact, the listed SMEs have a further 2 years after that, during which they may, if they wish, voluntarily opt out from the requirements. So the last date by which they must apply, if I'm not mistaken, is financial year 2028.
And when they report, do they need to report within 2 months, within 3 months, 6 months of that fiscal year?
So they report as part of their, what is in effect their annual report, together with their financial statements and management report.
But the intention is to have those sustainability reports published at the same time financial reports are being published for the company. So it will be at the same level of compliance or of demands that a company reports sustainability.
Yeah. So first of all, that's deliberate. The timing should be the same. But the point you make is extremely important about sort of parallels between financial reporting and sustainability reporting. Now, we often say that the intention here is to put sustainability reporting ultimately on the same footing as financial reporting. That has all kinds of implications in terms of the rigor that we expect, in terms of the existence simply of reporting standards, which of course we have and have been accepted for a long time for financial reporting. And that's one reason why we now bring in that same kind of discipline into sustainability reporting. I think the parallel is worth exploring further because there are some important implications of it. One of which actually is how important is this information to the company internally? Now, for financial reporting, companies use the reported information for their own strategic purposes, right? The board of a company uses that same financial information that is reported to quite a large extent in order to discuss the progress of the company, the health of the company, where it might be going and make strategic. Now, where we want to get to is that European companies are doing the same with sustainability information. So, of course, at the beginning, there will be compliance costs for sustainability reporting. And of course, for companies that have not done this before, to some extent, it may feel like a compliance exercise. But the objective is much beyond legal compliance. We want to be in a situation where boards and company management are collecting, reviewing, and valuing this sustainability information because it is fundamental to the company's strategy, to the way the company is run, and it is influencing their decisions about the future.
And it will be good for cities, it will be good for Europe, it will be good for the planet. So it's really aligned to that EU Green Deal. Tell me about the consequences you can think about if companies actually do not report don't report appropriately their progress under the CSRD framework.
That's actually either a very short or a very long answer, but I'm going to give you the very short one, which is that it is at the discretion of EU member states. The longer answer is that when the European Commission proposed this legislation, it did include some provisions about setting the sort of minimum sanctions. But member states have very different traditions about how they enforce corporate reporting requirements, including for financial reporting. And ultimately, they were very reluctant in the case of sustainability reporting to introduce European-wide provisions on exactly how this should be done. But the traditions are genuinely quite different from member state to member state. That's not to judge whether one is better than another. Some rely on enforcement agencies, some rely simply on the courts. So it's quite challenging to introduce common European-wide provisions on the sanctions.
To bet that there will be some countries that will enforce some penalties, and some countries are more willing to enforce those. And we've seen that with GDPR. I mean, GDPR can be quite a can 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 really impact a company in terms of possible penalties. But don't you think there's also reputational risk? I mean, if a company doesn't actually report properly and get its sustainability efforts verified under CSRD, it also has an impact on it, their reputation, on their brand in the market.
The short answer is probably yes, but I think we're all going to learn over the next few years of practical implementation. I think we'll all be on quite a steep learning curve that will include the companies. It will probably include the users of this reported information. It will also, I'm sure, include the different organizations responsible for enforcement of these reporting requirements. I should, Pierre, important for me to qualify one point on enforcement. While discretion is given to member states generally, they must have what we call national competent authorities to supervise and enforce these requirements in the case of listed companies. So in the case of listed companies, there's much less discretion given to member states. In the case of private companies is where national practices diverge much more considerably.
And there are governmental organizations that will be in each country responsible for that enforcement. I saw in France is the Autorité des Marchés Financiers, so financial market authority that is overseeing this.
Yeah. Now, you mentioned also the question of verification, which is really one of the other central innovations of the directive, of the Corporate Sustainability Reporting Directive. So the key message is that this information will have to be audited or assured, as we say. That has not previously been the case of sustainability information under European law. And it is, of course, another element of seeking these parallels between financial reporting and sustainability reporting. Everyone accepts that financial reports have to be audited. So we go in the same direction with sustainability reports. It will occur to some extent in a gradual way, because the audit world makes a distinction between what they call limited assurance, which is less strict audit, and reasonable assurance, which is a more demanding level of audit. And European law starts with a requirement for limited assurance and will move to reasonable assurance over time.
Right. So I'm thinking for an SME, you know, they will have to jump into this, and some of them are more advanced than others, depending on the country and depending on their situation, on their sustainability practice. Who should they turn to be more informed, be more in control of their sustainability practice so that it aligns to the compliance expectation to CSRD? Any advice, any thoughts, any best practice on who to turn to for this?
Well, important to point out that the only SMEs that will be subject to legal requirements under the CSRD are the 1,000 or so listed SMEs in Europe. And remember that they have until 2026, plus a further 2 years if they want, before they have to be reporting. Now, I think there will be different sources of advice and help for companies of that kind. Much of the best advice and support for SMEs, of course, comes in a culturally tailored way at national level. We also have the technical advisory body that advises us on the development of European standards called EFRAG. And EFRAG is developing implementation guidance to accompany the standards, and they will continue to develop that over the coming years. So that will be certainly one important source of advice. And I think there, there will obviously be also be some private offer of advice and help for companies to not simply on sustainability reporting, but on sustainability generally.
But also there is a good source of information, I must say, on the European Commission's website around CSRD, and has a few Q&A resources there that are worth checking for our auditors. There's one thing that struck me when I looked at that website is the level of depth of information that needed to be reported. And it says that it needs to be material for the company. And I wonder whether you could enlighten us about what depth of information would need to be reported. Is it going to the very final detail of everything and scope three, for example, upstream and downstream? How far should a company think of going in terms of reporting its sustainability impact?
So the basic point here is that the standards themselves are reasonably detailed and reasonably precise, because that is the only way that we can ensure that the reported information is comparable and that the reported information is complete and accurate. And of course, if the reported information isn't comparable, isn't complete, isn't accurate, we can't achieve what we're trying to achieve here. So once you start standardizing reported information, you need to go a reasonably far distance in terms of the level of detail. However, the great majority of this information is what we call subject to materiality. So it is deliberately designed to give both the flexibility and the responsibility to companies to make a decision about what of all this information is actually relevant in my particular circumstances. But the underlying point is that no, a company is not expected to report all information about all its value chain or all its supply chain. That's not the point. The company is expected, nevertheless, to identify where there may be important risks or impacts through that value chain. And then with regard to those so-called hotspots, to report the information that the standards require.
So Tom, is there any thoughts about providing guidance to those companies which are maybe not obligated to report, but that would want to report their sustainability progress, just to have a better impact on their community, on their customers, on their business? What are your thoughts there?
Short answer is yes, there is. So we're really talking here about the 20 million or more non-listed SMEs in Europe. Now, they are not subject to legal requirements under this legislation, legal reporting requirements, but we all know and see that many of those companies are nevertheless subject to expectations from banks or perhaps from large companies that they supply or from other stakeholders to be providing certain sustainability information, even if they're not legally obliged to be reporting this. So we are working with EFRAG, the body that advises us on ESRS, to develop standards for voluntary use by non-listed SMEs. Now, the idea, of course, that these standards would be simple, considerably simpler than the standards for large companies, that would be attractive for use by different SMEs and would at the same time in the market help meet the need coming from the financial sector and others for certain sustainability information from these companies. It in a way, if you like, it would both encourage and facilitate the participation of smaller companies in the transition to a sustainable economy.
Tom Todd from DG FISMA, from the European Commission, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.